Hi, I'm Mary Flood Manili, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, where I teach and coach a process called unconditional forgiveness. I went to college with one of your fellow parishioners, Ann Custer, and she has been following my forgiveness work since I started in 2002. She recently asked me if I would do a guest sermon on loving your enemies, and I'm honored to be with you today. So, loving your enemies, it can be really challenging. It can be a really hard thing to do. So, we're going to start with the what, and then the who, and move on to how to love our enemies. So, the what is love. And what does it mean to love our enemies? We know a lot about loving the people in our family, our parents and our spouses and our children. We know a lot about loving our friends and the people we enjoy spending time with. But what is the act of love when it's someone that we don't like, when we don't connect with, or someone who doesn't like us? And in the forgiveness process, we talk about unconditional love as the ability to extend goodwill to another person or to a group of people. The ability to want the best for them, wish the best for them, wherever they are, whatever is happening with them. We talk about the ability to have goodwill and wish the best like we would want the best for ourselves or for our children or for our family. And the other part of unconditional love is the ability to see the good, to see them as a child of God, to see the goodness in them, to see the goodness in what they do. And everybody has that goodness. Everybody has something good about them. So there's two parts of unconditionally loving another person: extending goodwill, wanting the best for them, and seeing the good in them. So when we think about love in that broader context, the list of who we are having a hard time extending goodwill, having a hard time seeing the good in, sometimes can get kind of long. And I contend that anyone who falls in that category, that we struggle with extending goodwill, we struggle with finding something good to see in them, can be categorized as our enemy. And the other part of the who, the enemy, is also anyone who thinks less of us or has issues with us. And sometimes that's not even when they have known us personally, that we're part of a group or part of a population that gets demonized as the enemy, and we can get caught up in that, just being part of that group. And the act of loving our enemy is the same in that context as well, that we want to extend goodwill, we want to wish the best for them, and we want to see the good in them, even if that's not what they're doing for us. So in both cases, in both the people that have harmed us, have harmed people we love, have done something to us, the people who offend us or bother us, and also people we have harmed or offended or wronged in some way, or people who have lumped us in as a group based on what they believe us to be. Those can all be categorized as our enemies. And Jesus asks us to love them all. no matter how they treat us, no matter what they do to us, no matter what they think of us, that we extend goodwill, that we extend our wish for the best for them and work to see the good in them. So that brings us to the how. How do we do that? How do we get to the point where we can love our enemies? In the forgiveness process, we start by clearing out the blocks that we have inside us, the blocks that are keeping us from having God's love fill us and flow through us out to other people. Those blocks can be our emotional truth, that we're angry or afraid or sad or betrayed or feeling disrespected. And it could also be our expectations, our needs for others to treat us in specific ways, our needs for safety, for respect, for kindness, for love, our needs for all kinds of different things, and our expectation that a specific person, those specific people, will meet our needs. And so clearing those things out can allow us more space, gives us more room for God's love to fill us and flow through us. In the forgiveness process, we use a technique called the empty chair technique. And so imagine that you can sit in a chair and have an empty chair in front of you. And in that empty chair, you imagine the enemy. You imagine the person who has wronged or harmed you, the person you have wronged or harmed, who thinks less of you, or the person who has, like I said, kind of lumped you into a category based on any type, any number of characteristics, gender, race, ethnicity, religion, nationality, all types of ways people, you know, kind of categorize each other and sometimes think less of us based on our association with that category. So you put whoever that person is, that is someone you have a hard time extending goodwill, you have a hard time seeing the good in, you have a hard time wishing the best for, you put that person, you imagine they're sitting in front of you, and you start with surrounding your space with God's love, with a prayer that you can be successful in loving this enemy. And then state your will. I will to forgive this person or this group of people. And then you begin by telling this person in the chair your truth. I feel sad. I feel hurt. I feel angry. I'm so angry. I feel betrayed. I feel disrespected. Whatever the truth is about the situation and with this person, you state that from your body, from your emotional truth in your body. This is somewhat unusual in our life usually, because most of us don't have safe places to really tell our unvarnished emotional truth. But this is a time you can set up, ask God for assistance and protection so that you can clear out the emotions that are preventing you from extending love and goodwill to this other person. So you continue expressing what's true for you until you feel a shift. In this step of the process, you don't have to use the rules of polite behavior, polite society. You can swear, you can yell, you can accuse, you can blame. It's speaking from the raw part that has those emotions. And often what we do is we try to keep those tamped down. We try to keep those under wraps. But the problem is they stay inside us. So this is a time and a place where you can let those things out. Now, you don't do that with the actual person sitting there. You do it in a way that won't harm another person, but just a way that can honor you and honor your experience and your feelings. And once you get to a point where you feel a shift in that, then you honor the expectations that you have held in your mind, the things that you need this person or these people to do in order for you to wish the best, in order for you to see the good. You know, the things that, you know, I could do that if you hadn't been a jerk. I could do that if you'd been honest. Those types of things. So after you acknowledge and honor and release your emotional body, then you go to the level of mind and say something like, I would have preferred that you had been honest, but you weren't, and I will no longer suffer for your inability or unwillingness to do that, and I cancel completely my expectation that you had done that in the past. And so in this way, you're detaching from all those cords of connection that you have had, the demands that another person do specific things in order for you to extend goodwill, in order for you to wish them the best. So going through that loop with what, how many other things it is that you have expected, have needed from this person or these people, and detaching from each one so that you can reset, if you will. You can reset into the present, into this moment. And then the next thing is acknowledging if there are things that are really the other person's responsibility that you've been carrying. Sometimes we carry responsibility as if it's our own, and we need to tell them, I give you full responsibility for your actions and your choices. I give you full responsibility for your relationships. You know, whatever it is that we've been carrying that is really the other person's responsibility, we can give them back. And once we've done those three things, once we've honored and released our emotional body, we've honored and canceled the expectations we're holding in our mind, and we've honored and cleared the responsibilities that we've been holding, then we have all this new space to invite God's love into us, into the space around us, so that we can fill ourselves up with love, with healing, with light, and that we can then, from that full place, extend to this other person, extend to this person that's in the chair, and send them a portion of this love flowing through us, just as they are, just as they were, and wish them the best. Have really goodwill for them in this flow of God's love that we want them to thrive and fully experience God's love through us. We can see them as a child of God. We can see the good in them, the good that they do. Whatever that good is, we can acknowledge it and speak it. And sometimes in that flow of love, we can also see good in ourselves or good in the situation between us and this other person or this group of people. Sometimes there's good that we can see that we hadn't been able to see before because we were so wrapped up in the emotional truth or the expectations of the story. And as you can see, this process is really just a tool to help clear out the sticky bits that are keeping us from being able to be more full of God's love and be more in the flow of God's love. And we can use this tool whenever we bump up against our enemies, whenever we bump up against not being able to see the good in another person or a group of people, not being able to wish them well, not being able to want the best for them. We can use this to clear out our personal emotional truth, our personal expectations, and open up more to being in the love and the light of God. Jesus talks so much about love, loving our enemies, loving our neighbors, and also about forgiving. And in my experience, those two things really go together. That I am more able to love when I am able to forgive. And learning this process, this tool, has allowed me to forgive readily and easily and love more fully and freely. And it also really helps me to, when I read, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I think I can do the work I need to do in order to do that, in order to extend goodwill, extend unconditional love to them. When Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. So it seems like Jesus is really asking us to extend ourselves, to find a way to love everyone, to extend goodwill, to see the good, to wish the best, and to act accordingly, to do the good when it's our moment to do the good, to pray when it's time to pray for them, and sometimes to change the way we see something, the way that we see another person or a group of people. Sometimes it's finding the common ground. Whatever that means, whatever the outcome of that love, that's Jesus, that's God working through us in loving our enemies and having less enemies, but rather love your enemies and do good to them and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So we are able to honor ourselves, honor our experience, and detach from our expectations that a specific person or a group of people will meet the needs we have, and open up to having those needs met in another way, because God is bountiful. We get attached to a specific way we think our needs need to be met, but God has all kinds of ways to meet our needs. And so sometimes when we detach from something that we're really gripped onto and open our hands to having that need met in a different way, we find the elegance and the grace in what God can provide for us that we maybe couldn't have experienced when we were locked into a specific way that we had decided in our minds we needed. So I offer you the possibility that loving your enemies, forgiving your enemies to create more space and more love will also provide you with more opportunities for grace and love and possibility flowing in your life. And I pray as you leave that you are blessed with the love of God and filled with God's grace so that you can love your enemies. You can find the resources inside you to have love and goodwill for those who you have struggled, and that it will open up new possibilities for you as well. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Peace be with you.